You're listening to the Table Talk podcast, brought to you by the team at Food Matters. Welcome to Table Talk, a guide to the future of food and nutrition, brought to you by Food Matters. In these podcasts, we chat with visionaries from across the food industry to discover the ideas that will transform our food landscape. I'm Stephen Gates. I'm a food science writer, I'm a broadcaster, and I'm a gastronaut. Now, this episode is all about problem solving, and the problem is the global food system. No matter which way you look at it, something has got to change. At the moment, food production is responsible for a quarter of global greenhouse gas emissions. As the population continues to increase, we just can't keep going on like this. It's unsustainable. But what is the solution? Well, we've talked quite a lot about farming insects and how to eat more insects and feeding animals on insects and how this could help to transform the system. I even made a BBC documentary and wrote a book about them. So, could this really be about to take off in the UK? Could the saviour of the global food system be buzzing around your front room or crawling up your window? And what's going to happen now that the insect protein industry has lost gimmick status and really needs to prove itself as a viable economic prospect? Well, to discuss this, I'm joined by Kieran Whittaker, founder and director of EntoCycle. Hi there, Kieran.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me on the programme.
Ah, it's a great pleasure. So let's just start off with some broad strokes, really. What could entomophagy, the eating of insects, do to help the global food system?
Well, I think there's kind of three key areas, really. One is the ability to transform food that we waste up into a high-value product. You know, that's what nature does. The apple falls from the tree, the worm eats the apple, and off we go again back up the food web. Secondly is into the animal feed supply chain. So we're not going to stop eating meat overnight. That's never going to happen on a global scale. And so we need to help feed these animals better and more healthy and more sustainable. And so along with eating less meat and eating better high quality meat, this plays a really important part in that. And then lastly, as legislation is changing and the kind of the holy grail is to humans, you know, direct to human nutrition. So I think it plays a really important part across all three areas.
Okay. Now, we've often talked about the barriers to insect eating and there are cultural and social issues. What are the big issues for you now? Because, as I said in the introduction, the insect industry has been around for a little while. Well, eating insects has been around for a little while. Whether or not you could call it an industry up until the last few years has been in doubt. But now I would say that the industry has matured. I mean, it has to mature. What can you tell us about the state of the insect industry, certainly in the UK now?
Yeah, so as EntoCycle, we are the UK's leading insect company, and we very much position ourselves as a technology company. So this industry, to make growth and real scale, is having to go through probably about 100 years of farming evolution in a space of, you know, half a decade. That is biology, technology, process control, feeding, nutrient, you know, the whole shebang. And so where we focus on as a company is on scale, computer vision-led technology. So, you know, food, everyone thinks is quite a, you know, you throw some dirt on the ground, you throw a few seeds in there and you hope for the best. Reality, that is not how farming is today. You know, there is precision technology. We're using satellite data to analyze farms. We do the same. So the whole scalability of this industry is down to having to build technology to allow us to build factories. And that is where we are today. So as EntoCycle, we have been running our pilot facility for the best part of 3 years, and we're now building the UK's first industrial insect farm.
And what are the challenges that you face along the way? I mean, obviously the challenges of setting up new businesses, but this is a new business in a new business area. Do you feel it's been an uphill struggle to get to where you are now?
Pushing water uphill is probably the perfect analogy. I began this because we need to make more sustainable decisions in the way we live and treat our planet. I think it's really important to have technologies like this and to be not just leading the field, but to be able to enable this technology into other sectors. You know, we are facing legislative challenges. We are facing market challenges. We are facing technological challenges. But as part of being this kind of motive, you know, why do I get out of bed, is to make a difference. That is the whole entire reason why you push on those fronts. And from when I first began EntoCycle to now, you know, people looked at me like I was an insect farmer, like I was a crazy guy. Now it's a, you know, this is a mainstream industry that is receiving tens of millions, if not billions of pounds globally of financial support, including from the UK government to EntoCycle.
And that's what we're here to discuss, isn't it? This big aspect. So can you tell us a little bit about the government's Industrial Strategy Challenge Fund and your involvement in it?
So it's been quite a nice little circle almost. The government asked different areas of technical innovation in agriculture to put propositions forward for recommendations in what they should invest. So there was recycling, there was plastic-free food, there was fertilizers, you know, you name it. How do you get an extra liter of milk out of a cow? Then they looked at really, really kind of future horizon-gazing industries, and insects were one of them. So with a group of supermarkets, other feed companies, legislative bodies, we set up a panel called the Insect Biomass Technology Task and Finishing Group, I think was the title.
It's a lot of words.
Yeah, to submit some reports. So, you know, this is the state of the industry. And there were multiple groups all submitting this to the government kind of 3-4 years ago. And lo and behold, out comes a set of new funding streams a few years later, looking at these key areas. So they chose 3 or 4 areas, and one of them was alternative proteins. Sitting on part of that panel, I then, as kind of the leader in this space, built a collaboration to apply for this grant, so the ISCF Future Food Production Systems grant. We're fortunate to be the winners of that, and we are now working with the likes of Tesco, AB Agri, Cook Aquaculture, other insect players, some specialist universities in this space, to deliver not just the UK's first industrial facility, but also make sure that that kind of whole ecosystem is driven forward.
And what's the value of the grant?
So it's just shy of 10 million total for all partners involved.
And what is the bulk of that going to be spent on?
The bulk of that is building the UK's first industrial insect factory at Entercycle, working with two other SMEs in this space for kind of areas of technology that we don't focus on. We are running academic and commercial scale trials, both on plants and salmon. And then, of course, is the legislative piece, like how do we streamline? How do we make the UK one of the most attractive places to do this, if we can?
So can you paint me a picture of an industrial insect farm?
It's probably not what you think. So there are two aspects to a facility, or there are four key blocks. You take an input, so your different types of waste stream, your agricultural side streams. And at the back end, you have your processing. So, you know, the stuff that goes out of the factory, the key science and the key technologies in the middle, where you have two processes. You have the breeding and you have the production. So just like any, you know, any plant or any animal, you have to have a grandparent stock that you're always replenishing the facility. We use computer vision technology and automation. So, you know, think boxes on rails going under kind of very fancy camera systems with complex algorithms, counting individual insects. So we know how many insects are in each phase, how many eggs there are, how many baby larvae there are, how many flies there are, how many flies are mating, the full circle of life. And that is a very, very highly optimized and precision process. People don't realize that rice, every grain of rice we eat goes through a computer vision counting system to make sure that we have no issues with any of those grains. We use similar processes as well as some kind of quite a lot more advanced. But we've taken the best in agricultural processes to develop this. Once you've got your genetic stock that's continuously providing you with new population, you can take the vast majority, so 95% plus, and you then feed them up. They are your fattening or your production stock. The production stock, again, very similar. We mix the baby larvae at the right quantity with food waste or with agricultural side streams. We leave them in an environmentally controlled system, so they have to be able to maximize their process. And at the end, you're left with what is called a frass. So this is think worm castings or fertilizer, pre-fertilizer.
It's poo. It's poo, Kieran. Come on.
Yeah, but it's a lot more valuable than that. So we're already seeing, if you use frass to grow plants, you can see up to twice the size of a plant with more fruiting bodies because it's an immunostimulant. And this is a really, really exciting area. They're working with the University of Warwick and Durham. They're conducting trials as well as the commercial trials. And then secondly, you have the whole insect. And so that's the kind of the really juicy part, if you want to say. And the whole insect is almost an inch long and it has been grown for 9 to 12 days, depending on their input. So they're supercharged. We can then do several things. So, you know, you can have organic fresh product that can go straight to market. So there are key markets for that. Hopefully in the future, you'll be able to see kind of your homegrown chickens or your super organic chickens being fed on, you know, on a live fresh product. That's what they want to eat in nature. But the reality is the larvae themselves need post-processing. So, you know, they need either freezing or drying or milling and refining into different types of products, depending on their market need. So that's the kind of the grand scale of it. And, you know, this is done at quite a significant scale. We're not talking kind of your garden shed here by any means. We're talking, you know, full-size factories.
Yeah. And I've been in a few garden shed insect farms and yeah, it's hard work doing it at that stage. But you've done this on a huge scale, which is very different. Now, which species are you concentrating on breeding?
So we focus solely on black soldier flies. And there is a key reason for this. They are one of the 5 insects that have been provided legislation for in EU level. The others being kind of the cricket and the mealworm species. But these are crickets and beetles. What we're looking at is the fly species.
And why is that?
Two reasons. So one, black soldier flies are the only non-disease, non-pest species on that list. The flies do not have a traditional digestive system. So they're never going to land on you, then land on manure, then land on food, etc. So they don't cause that issue. They're actually a mimic. The fly pretends to look like a wasp, and that's its kind of defense in nature. But all they really care about is finding a mate, laying their eggs, and that's their job done. And that's so you can incredibly compress that time frame. But what's really important is that each fly can lay up to 1,300 eggs, and that's a massive increase compared to any other insects. But the key part is those larvae are then able to eat the widest range of foodstuffs.
Uh-huh.
And not only that, they are supercharged. Because unlike a cricket that needs to get bigger and bigger and bigger, which takes kind of 6 to 8 weeks, or a mealworm that needs to eat kind of wheat products and takes probably 4 to 6 weeks, we can do the same process in 9 to 12 days.
Wow.
So they are not only the non-disease, non-pest, but they are the supercharged turbo eaters. And that just means that when you're looking at scale and looking at cost of production, these are going to be, in our opinion, the only insect that will kind of really, really explode into the mass, the mainstream.
Okay. So you've chosen soldier flies. With your end product, do you see yourselves as an ingredient company, a protein company, a feed company, or a food company?
So we see ourselves as a technology company. So none of the above.
I like that. Good twist.
Because we are providing the platform for this to go mainstream. We will build, own, operate our own facilities. But when you're looking, you know, we need to make hundreds of thousands of tons minimum in each country. We probably need to make millions and millions of tons. So if you're looking at the kind of the two main products, you have fish meal, which is a slowly dwindling stock. And you look at soya meal, which is a, you know, it has huge environmental issues with it, which I'm not going to go into today, but we all know the kind of main problems they have. We need to be producing, you know, tens, if not hundreds of factories on every country around the world. And so our model is very much build, own, operate in the UK, but look at licensing into international partners and deploying our technology around the world.
So what's your end product? Is it used as animal feed or is it used as a protein supplement? What's the final use of the stuff?
So we are going through the regulatory roadmap. Right now, insects can be fed to pets, black soldier fly insects, I should say, can be fed to pets and to aquaculture. So right now, we work with pet food companies and with, you know, sustainably facing pet food companies and aquaculture companies. So salmon farms, predominantly here in the UK. As I said, we're already working with two of the kind of mainstream companies, but we actually have salmon in tanks at the moment being tested on our latest line of products. As the evolution happens, so this year, I think you may have seen that chickens and pigs will be allowed to be fed in insects by the end of the year. And again, that's opening up the market segment. Black soldier flies are yet to be human. So we haven't yet got human, but that is highly likely either this year or next year because the applications already went in a couple of years ago. So we see ourselves very much as a provider of protein and a provider of technology as opposed to the B2C or the final product. So, you know, if you are a pet food company or you're a human brand B2C looking in the sports nutrition world, we want to work with you.
Now, in some ways, you are farmers in the fact that you are taking your inputs, which are organic, and you're producing an organic output. But it's very different to normal farming. What's the reaction from traditional farmers been? I mean, is there any comparison with what you do?
It's a tough one. So, yes, we're farmers. But we're not farmers in the normal sense in terms of we're not going to need large fields to deploy this. So I've only interacted, you know, I've given a few talks with farming groups, one early this year in East Anglia. And generally, you know, they're really positive because it's not, we're not competing with them on products. We can't grow massive amounts of soya in the UK. So it's not like we're going to be directly challenging with UK farmers. We very much see ourselves as a complementary activity that will be happening in reality, in commercial retail estate part. What farmers care about is making sure that they are looking after their land and they are providing good, healthy products on the whole. Where we are really kind of tackling and facing is more like kind of international multinationals who are producing mass products. That is more our target and our challenge because we want to make that whole industry more sustainable. I don't think many people in the UK realise that we are about 90 to 95% dependent on imports of protein products. Not the animals themselves, but the feed to feed animals. And I call myself vegan, but I would happily, I care about sustainability. I want to eat the most sustainable possible food that I ever have. And because I live in the middle of London, the reality is that's going to be vegan-based food. And so I've kind of got a bit lost in answering my question here. but ultimately, you know, we are complementary to farmers. We're complementary to the kind of UK farming and food production ecosystem.
And what's their reaction been to the concept of feeding their animals on black soldier flies?
Oh, I think it's just common sense. You know, if you have free-range chickens, they're already eating insects in the field. It's called fly fishing for a reason, because that's how you catch salmon. This is the natural product. Again, what they care about is volume, scale, reliability. And that's, again, what Entercycle focuses on with our technology, is delivering those volumes, that scale, and that 365 days a year production.
And are there barriers to building your units? I guess it's an industrial unit rather than a farm. I don't know quite how you describe it. But are there people who don't like the idea of the flies being in their area? What if the flies escape? Is there a disease issue? I know that you've said that there isn't, but the perception of the public must be something that is a hurdle for you.
Yeah, correct. And it's part of the detailed process that we're going through and selecting our first site. And So our first facility is called Ento Farm 1. So we are ourselves calling it a farm, but you're right, it's a production unit. Mm. It is part of the challenge and part of the fun and the headache of being a first wave mover. You know, we are going through these processes now. But the reality is it's going to be in semi-rural to rural areas, just as most farming activities are. We have our pilot facility in central London, but that is not where the true scale will happen. We deliberately chose black soldier flies because they are non-disease, non-pest. They are globalized. They're found in every continent as far north as the Czech Republic. And they've been found in Europe for thousands of years. So, you know, that's another reason for using black soldier flies.
Now, do you think that the UK has the ability to fundamentally change from soya and wheat-based feed for animals to insects? I mean, what sort of percentage of that market would you hope to be able to get to in 10 years?
It is a truly huge market. I mean, if you look at the numbers, it's staggering in terms of how much kind of products that we use to feed animals or to make kind of, you know, these new alternative protein products that we direct. To answer that question, legislation is going to be one of the key factors that restricts or promotes this industry in the UK. There are several niche markets that we are entering into that are quite, you know, when we say niche, we're still talking tens of thousands of tons of products a year that we can target now, that we are targeting. But if the UK wants to become, you know, a global leader, we really need to be looking at not only streamlining existing legislation, but making this a personal kind of peeve for myself, is that under food and feed, insects are considered a farmed animal. And you're right, they should be considered a farmed animal, but in all other works of life, they're not considered a farmed animal. So right now, we have to feed insects on the same food stocks as you would feed your chickens or your pigs. Mm-hmm. And so opening up the safe feed stocks that we can feed to the insects is a massive kind of pro bonus. You know, the ISCF, Future Food Production Systems, is a fantastic first move, providing some serious investment into this space. But if you look at some of our European competitors, France and Holland, they've invested tens and tens of millions. And so there's going to be further, you know, grant or government funding, because this industry is attracting. We're now seeing billions moving into the industry. And so we're at this really, really interesting juncture between still being this first market mover, but whatever your view on Brexit is, a positive you could take out of it is that we have independence on our regulations. And so if we want to attract insects into this industry in the UK, we should, in theory, be able to kind of move a bit quicker.
And do you think that regulation change is likely in the near future? Is it something that is being looked at already?
It's another million-dollar question, so thanks for putting that one forward. myself and Entercycle, we sit on a few panels that include government agencies. Part of being provided this funding from government is also to start putting feedback in. I also have helped with Tesco's funded WWF report into the state of insects in the UK, which I believe is coming out in the next couple of days. You know, there is now becoming quite a nice push on what positive change there could be. It's regulation. So you're asking how long is a piece of string?
Yeah.
But, you know, I do have optimism and there is opportunities, and we just have to keep shouting about it, especially platforms like this, because the more people that listen and hear it, you know, the more that it will get into central government, into regulatory bodies.
Yeah. And there's an opportunity there. I think you're right. There's an opportunity to push things forward because we should have a less unwieldy regulation system. So we've talked mainly about just the one insect, the black soldier fly. There are other insects that certainly the UN reckons there's about 1,900 species of insects which are edible, although everything's edible. It's just whether or not you get any nutrition out of it. What's next for Entercycle after the black soldier fly? I mean, I know you've got a long way to go with the project at the moment. There's a huge amount of research being done. What are you looking at next?
So I think for us, in terms of looking at other insect species, it's less will we personally look at insect species, but it's our companies coming on who think that our technology may be applicable for them. I think reality for us is we are building Ento Farm 1, the UK's first industrial facility, and we may look to build Ento Farm 2 as well, which will be a larger scale 24 months afterwards. there is the market demand for our products already. The problem is scale. It's how do we achieve that? And so again, that's why we started at the beginning. We've gone through the technology, we've gone through the biology, we've gone through the process. Next, I think, is actually ability for us to license our technology into other partners, yeah, into other regions of the world. So we're already working in East Africa, in Central Europe, looking at opportunities in North America and Japan, because this industry is taking off and we want to make sure that, you know, we might not build every factory, and I don't think we can. It's not physically possible, even for a large multinational. What we can do is deploy our technology to enable this industry to massively grow.
So you own the knowledge rather than necessarily the tons of insects?
The knowledge and the technology, yes.
Yeah. So Entifarm One, where is it going to be? When's it going to be ready? And when can I come and visit?
I can answer the second two. The first one is a little bit trickier. we're currently in discussions with several sites around the UK. We have a key firm area where we are. We've already kind of put a few offers in on sites to build. If everything goes to plan, at the end of this year, we will start breaking ground on the site. A lot of our technology is already ready in our pilot facility and we'll start being migrating over, including building up the population to make sure that the facility is fully stocked, if you want to call it that way. When can you come over? I suppose we will have to have another discussion in January and how it's all going. COVID has had a problem for us. You know, we work in a high quality laboratory conditions, and we've had to reduce the amount of, you know, engineers, entomologists, scientists who are going in every day. But now, you know, with the situation changing, we're able to kind of push that faster.
Well, it's very exciting stuff. And I mean, I particularly like the insect, you know, edible insect industry, because it's unique, it's counterintuitive, it's trying out a new idea. And I think you're doing something really exciting, and I wish you the absolute best of luck with it. I'm sure you're going to do enormously well. Kieran Whitaker, thank you very much for talking with me.
Thank you very much, and have a great afternoon.
Now, you've been listening to the Tabletop Podcast, brought to you by Food Matters. And if you enjoyed this episode, you might like one of our other podcasts, in which we explore pretty much every aspect of the food industry, from food standards to lab-grown meat. Follow to get every episode freshly delivered to you on Apple, Spotify, Google, or your preferred podcasting platform. And to find out more, take a look at foodmatters.co.uk. Thank you so much for listening.